What up, y'all? This is D.
And I'm True Worship.
And I'm KD.
And we are 360.
And we go hard
on Real Talk
with Michael McCann.
Yeah.
Okay, did the music stop? Can we get back to the regular scheduled programming? Maybe? Let's see. Oh, my goodness. That was hilarious. I guess I'm trying. We'll get multitask. All right, let's see if this works.
Hello. We're your new neighbors. Don't be alarmed. We're Negroes.
And now, it's Real Talk with Michael McFadden.
Check one, check two. Yes, we are back. I think Real Talk with Michael McFadden, show number 404, if you count. Today is March 16th, 2015, and yes, we are broadcasting live from the third floor right here in Powder Springs, Georgia. Shout out to In the Circle for the track. My man Fat, my homie C, what up, fellas? Ladies and gentlemen, the number to call the show tonight is the same it has been for 404 shows, 347-994-2063. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. DC, the number 2, ATL. We're also on MipTags. Just check us out on MipTags, MipTags.com, and search DC, the number 2, ATL. You see all the social networking stuff right there in person, in real time. I think that's how you say it, in real time. Hey, shout out to everybody celebrating birthday today. Shout out to all the Pisces out there. You know what? We normally do this, and we don't script this at all.
Hello.
I usually call random people on their birthday, but this person is not that random. So we're going to see if we get on the call. Y'all might hear silence from me, but we do a live call. Hold on. Let's see if it works. Pops.
Hello.
Pops, what's happening? Pops.
Hello.
What's happening? See, guys, my dad just turned 66, so it seemed like he got this hearing problem. Pops, are you there? And he hung up. See what happened?
Neighbors.
So he's going to call back, and we're going to get him on the line. We're doing too much. Real Talk with Michael McFadden. Oh, we got a great show lined up for you today. Our sports guy, Keith Roberts, is back. We're going to be talking the latest in NFL trades and free agency and all that good stuff. We're going to talk about the Falcons and the Bills. We're going to talk about all your favorite teams. And also joining me tonight, she's back. Guys, it's been a while since Tammy's been on the show, hasn't it? Let me see, the last place I saw Tammy, I can't put my fingers on it, but I'll remember it. But it's been 2 years. She has her project. It's called Girl in the Glass, 2-year anniversary. That's coming up March 28th. And I tell you what, every time Tammy does something special, she does it big. I'm definitely looking forward to that. And we're going to holler at her about Girl in the Glass, March 28th. That's coming up. So sit back, relax. Got a great show for you. When we come back, we're going to holler at Tammy. And we're going to holler at Pops to see if we can get Pops on the line. I told y'all, when you turn 66, like as soon as you hit that age of 66, stuff start happening. So maybe he was having like a flashback or something like that. We'll see if we can get him. Hey, don't go nowhere. We're going to be back with Tammy. We'll be right back. Real talk.
I gotta call this prostate dude. I gotta get my prostate checked. It's been on my spirit.
I checked it.
No. Shut up, Tony. That ain't fine. I gotta really call this dude.
It is fine.
See, ladies and gentlemen, get married. You don't even gotta take a screening.
Best doctor you can have.
Hey, Griff, that dude that showed up for your insurance that checked your prostate, that didn't count.
Oh, man, yeah. Do you have insurance? No, I don't. May I come into your home? Yes, we are doing a door-to-door exam. How old are you? I'm 42. Yes, men over 41. It's a new thing. Maybe you have not logged on to Obamacare.
Somebody did that.
Huh?
Somebody showed up at the door.
You know we playing, right?
Oh.
We just stressed it. There go my wife.
What's going on, everybody? This is Neil, and you're checking out the Tony and Griff Show with Michael McFadden. Keep it locked. Peace and love.
Don't forget, tune in tomorrow. You know what? You can tune in every Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. It's the Tony and Griff Show with Michael McFadden. TGSMM.com is the website. If you got the TuneIn app, you can check us out on the TuneIn app, Sensation Station Network. Anywhere in the world, you can check us out. We do this thing Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9. As a matter of fact, when you wake up tomorrow, not only will you hear me, Griff, and Tony, you'll also hear Nikita Todd Stanley. She's going to be hanging out with us tomorrow. My man Trent is going to be hanging out with us tomorrow. They're doing a big St. Patrick's Day party down at Bugaloo, I think that's the name of it. Y'all know I don't get out much. I don't know a whole bunch of club stuff, but Trent's going to be down there with us. Also, the folks from Tillamore Dew are going to be dropping by, and Tammy is going to be there too, but we get to talk to Tammy first tonight. But before we talk to Tammy, I got to say happy birthday to Pops. Pops, what's up? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hey, happy birthday, young man.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that.
You know what? Like yesterday's or Saturday's dinner, man, we really, really had a good time. There go your applause for your clap. I knew it would take you a minute to hear the applause. So, but we had a great time at dinner, man. Appreciate y'all. Happy birthday.
Yeah, well, it was just great just to get with my family, you know.
Hey, they were loving your picture on you're loving your picture on Facebook.
Hey, I done got popular, man. I done got very popular. I got so many, what you call? I don't even know what you call them. About 80-something
likes on
people
your picture?
On there, man. Yeah, I got 80-something
people. You over 100.
Wow. Made me feel like back in the day.
Yeah, or in Congress Heights.
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on, was you about to say to be with your oldest son? Is that what you was about to say?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
I don't see you too often.
But you sure I'm your oldest, though?
Yeah, you the oldest.
Okay, all right. Allegedly.
I don't know.
All right, Pop, love you, man. Huh?
Okay, hey, look, I might have to go to Maury on that one.
Hey, man, we love you. Happy birthday, man. Get out of here.
All right, I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, happy birthday, Pops. That's my dad, 66 years old. Shout out to him. Hey guys, our first guest is actually not our first guest ever. She's been here before, and it's her second annual. They're celebrating their second year. It's called Girl in the Glass. Like I mentioned, it's their 2-year anniversary, and you'll get an opportunity to hang out with them March 28th. But she's here today to tell us all about it. She is in the building, ladies and gentlemen. Give it up for my girl, Tammy Von Nordheim. Hey, Tammy.
Hey. Hi. What's up?
I said the last name correct, right?
Yes, you did. You sure did.
Now,
hey,
awesome.
Can I give
well,
a shout out to
the
Pop
show?
First? Thank you. I want to say happy birthday to Pop, too. Happy birthday,
yeah.
Pop.
He's
got jokes, too, talking about Mari.
We all always tease him, Tammy, like straight up. I tease him like he was a awful dad just growing up, and he knows that. But he is an awesome, awesome grandfather to all of our grandkids in the family. So he definitely is making it up through the grandkids. I still want some restitution, though. Can I get restitution for all the missed birthdays and Christmases and all that stuff?
Wow. Yep. You know what? I think you should. should.
I appreciate your support. well, welcome back to the show. It's been a while since you've been here. I was just thinking about the last time I saw you. I think physically saw you. I want to say it was at the Trumpet Awards, but I know it wasn't that long. I think I saw you somewhere else, but I'm just going to go with the Trumpet Awards. It was the last time I saw you.
Wow, then that would have been a year and a couple of months ago. But I could have sworn it was more recent than that, too.
Yeah, that's what
it's
I was thinking.
Minute,
like
my
short-term memory is horrible, but I can remember, like, what happened in 76. You know what I'm saying? so you feel my pain.
I do, because you know what? My short-term memory is better. My long-term memory is going away. So, you know, it's painful either
Co-op.
Way you look at it.
You're right.
Yes,
you're right.
It is. Well,
I tell you what, Girl in the Glass, this is your second, your two-year anniversary for the event. Before we talk about the event that's coming up on March 28th, tell us about how this whole thing was created, Tammy.
Okay, so first let me say also thank you so much for having me on your show again. You know, I really appreciate you and what you do, and I love your show. And I tell everybody all the time they need to be listening to you. They need to be tuning in. So
thank you,
I'm really grateful to be on here. You're welcome. So Girl in the Glass started about 2 years ago, and it initially was going to start off as just me with a group of girlfriends. Excuse me, me with a group of girlfriends just simply hanging out, talking about life. You know, we wanted to share our struggles and our celebrations and do it in a non-judgmental atmosphere that was intimate, confidential, and fun. So, you know, we'd have food, we'd have wine, and it was just really like a girl's night out. And that first night, the first night was supposed to be a two-hour event. We didn't leave. The last person, I think, left around midnight or 1 a.m., so we were together for about 6 or 7 hours just in a hotel suite hanging out and just talking and laughing. And some of the people didn't know each other, but before they left, they were not strangers anymore. They were like girlfriends, like sisters, literally. And everybody kept saying, so when is the next Girl in the Glass? And I was like, what? Okay, well, I think I need to get on it. So from there, we started having a Girl in the Glass girls' night out once a month for the first year. The second year, we dropped down to once a quarter because I started grad school and studying to get my master's in social work, and it was more difficult to have the event every single month. But the sisterhood has stayed strong. It's open to any woman of any race, any affiliation. We just want everybody to feel the empowerment that we were able to mutually mentor one another during our sessions. And it's really amazing because people talk about, in our sessions, they talk about their they talk about everything from rape and divorce to molestation to domestic violence to, you know, all the positive stuff, you know, vacations or raises or job promotions, new businesses that are started up. And the beauty about what we talked about was that somebody somewhere in the room would have most likely have experienced something that somebody else was talking about. And they could offer advice and encourage one another to, you know, to stay strong or to try a different, looking at it from a different perspective. So from there, Girl in the Glass bloomed, and I even had men asking me, you know, when was I going to put together something for the men, because they were kind of feeling left out.
Of course we do. When you have great events like that, when you look at all of the things that as a woman, like that men don't understand, we don't understand that process. Like, I always like to ask opinion of what role does the media play in the perception of women, not just black women, but women in America today in 2015?
Wow, the media plays such a huge role. People don't even realize it. They're buying into it. You know, the media posts, they are, through media, people post images and postings and sayings about themselves and their lives that may not even be exactly what they're posting. You know, you can, a good example is to is to see that somebody has, like, this wonderful, happy marriage, and everything is just, you know, wine and roses. But the next thing you know is they're getting a divorce. It's like, wait a minute, you know, no separation, mm-hmm. no time out, you're going straight to divorce, but we looked up to you guys. You know, you guys were our couple idol. What happened? We didn't even see it coming. And that's because people put on social media what they want you to see, not what's really happening. Mm-hmm. And in The Girl in the Glass, we encourage women to be transparent and to open themselves up to the possibility of empowering themselves to say, you know what, this is me. I'm going to live in my truth without apologies, without feeling any guilt whatsoever, because this is me. And if I keep living as if, you know, within this in this facade, as if I'm someone else or my life is something else, I'm not being true to myself, and not being true to yourself can become toxic. The key is to be honest first with yourself, and then honest with everybody else around you, and stop putting up these masks that all of us are wearing everywhere, every day.
Yes, ma'am. And that's what I was going to say. I was going to ask you about the media's responsibility, and then you look at the social media responsibility of it. And that's one thing that I'm very conscious of, Tammy, is when it comes to my social media. Like, I'm who I am in real life on social media, but the one thing that I don't do is, you know, well, it doesn't bother me. It bothers me a little bit when we are on social media and we begin to separate ourselves, not just from, you know, from a race perspective, but also from a class perspective. Look at me and look at what I'm doing and what you're not doing. You know what I'm saying? So it makes everybody, you know, some people who don't have the willpower or the courage or the self-esteem to say, okay, or just look past it. It looks as if we're bragging. Like you said, you're not being who you really are. And sometimes some people go too damn deep. Like, I really don't want to know what you and your wife argued about. That's between y'all. You know, too much stuff is no longer private. We're putting all of our business out there on social media, and it's becoming a little too much, and we're getting the wrong perception about people.
And you know why people are putting it out there? It's insecurity. It's their own self-insecurity that they put it out there, because when they put something out there about, like, them arguing with their spouse or even arguing with a girlfriend or a guy friend or something like that, they are looking for people to support them. Because they themselves are not sure if they are right or wrong. And they're looking for people to click likes. They're looking for people to comment and just offer that support, and maybe even to encourage them to continue the fight, whatever it is that's going on. And I just will never understand why people will post something and it's so negative, it's so rude, it's so mean, it's so hurtful, and somebody else can come on and say, yeah, that's right. It's like, okay, if you can't encourage them to calm down, to rethink, to take a step back and breathe, and then try to just, you know, remove themselves from the situation, then don't say anything at all. Why do you want to encourage somebody to keep hurting themselves or hurting someone else, whether it's verbal or physical? It just does not make sense, you know? And I think we're losing a sense of humankind is what we're losing a sense of.
Yeah, we are. And when we look at like you had 2 years ago, you said that your heart had a vision, and it wasn't just a vision, that you saw this whole thing play out, The Girl in the Glass. I was just thinking about posting something today to remind people that, you know, as we look at some of the most popular television shows on TV right now, with, you know, Kerry Washington's character on Scandal, or Taraji P. Henson's character on Empire, or any of the characters that play on reality TV shows, whether it's, you know, Housewives or the Married to the Medicine or whatever your cup of tea may be, we got to realize that these people are not real. And we are our young ladies out there, and some grown-ass women out there are playing this game, oh, I'm Cookie, or I'm this person. Guys, these people aren't real. You know, and what happens, what I see, Tammy, what I happen is, like, as an adult, at 44 years old, I'm just thinking about when I saw my mom at 44, or when I saw my dad at 44, and I guess, you know, I was in my early, I don't know how old I was back then, but just to see adults at 44 at my age now acting as if they're teenagers, you know what I'm saying? It's like we're not separated. Mm-hmm. There are no more teenagers and young adults and adults. Everybody, we all listen to the same music, we all watch the same television shows. So who do we have to inspire us but TV characters?
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, looking at it from a soul perspective, people are really causes of their own reality, and but they, like, they don't realize they're making themselves the victims at the same time. You know, they really need to take a step back and analyze what this is doing to, if they have kids, to their kids, and if, even if they don't have kids, to just our younger generation. How are we grooming people younger than us to actually lead our nation, our race, our, you know, whatever it is? It's just like it's going to end up coming to a standstill, and people, like you said, people are going to be 50 years old still acting extremely immature because they haven't learned to grow up and be who they are and not try to be who they're seeing on TV.
So true. Hey, the event, who is the event for?
The Girl in the Glass event?
Yes.
Okay, so the Girl in the Glass event is for women any from the ages of 14 years old and up, 90 years old, 110 years old. The reason we start the age at 14 and not younger is because there will be some adult language, most likely, and some adult stories. We're going to have testimonies from people that are, you know, have gone through some tough times in life, some difficult times, and they are going to be sharing their testimony to show how they have been empowered and, you know, who they've become today. I have speakers coming in from Houston, Texas. I've got speakers coming in from Florida. And then I have some local speakers that are going to be sharing their testimony. So it's going to be an amazing event. It's going to be, like, probably the most epic Girl in the Glass event that I've ever had. And honestly, I have to laugh because I swear every single Girl in the Glass topped the last one. It just keeps getting better and better. And I'm just so grateful and so thankful to all the people who have poured themselves into supporting what I'm trying to do and encouraging me, because they keep saying, we need something like this. You know, it's like women need this. And it's just been amazing. It's been an amazing journey, really.
You know what, Tammy? The first time we had an opportunity to work together was about 3 years ago. It was myself, Clark, and you. We did a Why Not Now event at the Green Room down there, Terry Vaughn's Green Room back in the day. And I really enjoyed your spirit. And you're an actress and photographer. You do a whole lot of stuff. And let me go back to that movie that you did where you were running down the street with that gun. I just thought about that. That scene just popped in my head for some crazy reason. I told you my long-term memory is pretty cool, but short-term, so
it's horrible. That scene popped in your head because of that dress.
Yeah, exactly. See, I didn't want to
say
that part.
That's
you
what
did.
That was. Everybody's going to go look up that movie.
Right, exactly. But no, I was saying, like, I had an opportunity to work with you on Why Not Now. 3 years ago, I was going through I had this little app, and it shows you all of your, it's called Time Hop, I think, and it shows you all of your pictures on that day up to 3 years ago, and our flyer popped up. It was me, you, and Clark in the flyer, and it was our first Why Not Now, and I picked up the phone and called Clark immediately and said, Clark, it is time to do another Why Not Now, like 3 years later, and, you know, definitely had him reach out to you. He said he did. I don't know if I'm putting it out there if he has or has not, but he said he did to reach out to you because I wanted to do it again, and we're definitely looking forward to putting that together, but it just seems like with you and your mission, where are you from originally, Tim?
Tocoa, Georgia. My Georgia
Tocoa,
Peach.
Georgia?
Yes.
Where is that? Do I go? How do I get there from Atlanta?
Okay, you go 85 north, past Gainesville, just before you get to South Carolina line, up past Commerce. You know, it's right up there in the mountains, small town.
Oh yeah, you're from Georgia. Yeah, that Georgia for real.
Yes, sir.
Born and raised. What you've done, like, since coming to Atlanta, like, for you as being an entrepreneur, Tammy, and stepping outside of the normal of what, you know, what people do, you know, go to work for a big company and retire. What was it for you, Tammy, that, you know, you talk about how you said, I dreamed, I created, I breathed. What was it for you that uplifted you?
You know, there was a couple things. One was how hard my mother worked. She was such a hard worker. She would work 2 and 3 jobs to take care of her girls and to make sure that we had everything that we needed. And so I learned from watching her the work ethic. Then secondly, I knew that in my small town, which was very, very small, that there was not many places that I could go and grow from there. If I stayed there, I was probably going to end up working in a manufacturing company just as a receptionist at somebody's front desk. There just weren't many opportunities that I saw for me as a young African-American woman with strong ambitions and a strong will to succeed. And so I always knew that I wanted to be a psychologist. And so I knew that I was definitely going to go to college. So just knowing that and seeing the people around me, you know, a lot of people were complaining about their jobs. They were working first, second, and third shift. That was like the thing to do. And people hated their jobs. They were just, you know, tired of going to work. They felt like they were working all the time, but they were still living check to check. And I knew that's not what I want for me. You know, staying here is not going to get me what I need. So I need to go to a bigger city. I need to go to college, get my education, and then from there decide where I'm going to go. And I knew that, you know, God was going to show me my path because I had a vision. And I just knew that if I worked hard and I focused, that I could get there. And coming to Atlanta was an awesome decision for me because it opened my eyes. It exposed me to a lot of people and places that I had no idea even existed. And coming here, it's just, you know, even just working with you and Clark 3 years ago on the Why Not Now, that actually inspired me to move forward with My Girl in the Glass because I still had doubts in the beginning for that as well. It's like, wow, you know, how are people going to receive this? Should I turn it into a business? You know, how do I do it? And I had already owned other businesses, but this was something totally different because I'm not a licensed therapist, so I don't pose myself to be one, but I had a good conversation with a friend who is a licensed therapist, a psychologist, and I put it in front of him, and he said, why don't you do it? And I was like, because I don't know if it's against the law, if it's illegal. And he was like, but no, it's not. I mean, as long as you're not trying to say that you are acting as a therapist for these people, your vision is an awesome one, and I think it's needed. And so doing the Why Not Now with you guys, coupled with the conversation I had with him and with my entrepreneurial spirit, I knew, okay, you know, I can't sit on this. I can't stay still. I need to move forward because there are a lot of people that could use my help. And after that first one, when everybody, it was like 24, 25 of us, everybody was like, when is the next one? And they were adamant. I said, okay, I got to do this. There's no way to not do it. And my spirit just led me to keep doing it, and it was a struggle. At the same time, it was easy because doors opened up. I mean, I had somebody from one company that said, here, if you need to use our space, we won't charge you. You can use our space because we believe in what you're doing. I had a second company open their space up in a whole different location, said the same thing. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't looking for that, but it came to me because I was in the right place at the right time, and I believe this is where, you know, God wanted me to be. And so with all these things kind of laying themselves out in front of me without me having to look too hard, there was no way I could say, no, I'm not going to do this.
Right.
You know how some people said, you know, I was led to do it. It was meant for me to do this because everything that was supposed to happen happened when it was supposed to happen to allow it to happen. That's what happened with The Girl in the Glass. And we are actually growing, and I have a new venture that I'm going to announce at The Girl in the Glass on March 28th that I won't announce here, but I can tell you this much. There's something in it for the guys this time.
Awesome. You know, I was going to say when Clark and I put our heads together about Why Not Now, it was the same thing. Like we had the information, but we just didn't know where to start. And like I told Clark, you know what? If we sit here and wait to think about how to start, if we never figure it out, then we will never start. So let's just do it. And we just did it and worked the bugs out as we come along. Before I let you go, Tammy, you were just talking about how the ladies just sit down and talk and communicate, and how it was a fine line for you not to, you know, cross lines as being a therapist and all that good stuff. But when you read stuff like this from your website that says, at my first Girl in the Glass event, I was in the midst of a deep depression about the past wrongs in my life, and the group helped open my heart and mind so that I knew my feelings were temporary and mainly false impressions. When you hear stuff like that, just from putting like-minded women together and how you and the rest of the ladies on your girls' night out was able to help, I know, like, that is the motivation for you to keep going, ain't it?
Oh, yes, it's definitely, it's empowering for them to release that information, and because a lot of people keep it in to themselves, and it's empowering for me to be able to respond to them and to say, I hear you, to validate what they're saying, and to help figure out different ways to help elevate other women into following their dreams and their passions, into realizing that they matter and that they can stop living for other people and learn to live for themselves, and basically to just live an honest life and not feel like they're going to possibly have regrets from doing so later down the line.
I love what you said. Transition is not about becoming someone better, but about finally allowing yourself to become who you've always been. I love it. For the ladies that are listening today and they want to come hang out with you guys, how can they find out more information?
Okay, so they can give me a call at 404-490-2426. They can follow me on Twitter at @1GirlInTheGlass. They can follow me on Instagram at Tammy McGarity. They can join our Facebook page. It's a private page, and it's Girl in the Glass on Facebook. And they can also go to my website, www.girlintheglass.net, and reach out to me there. And my email is girlintheglass@gmail.com. And I would love to have everyone to come and join us on our celebration on March the 28th. It's from 2 to 6 p.m. at the Lowe's Midtown Hotel. We're going to do it up in style. And you can get your tickets for that. We have discounted tickets on Eventbrite. If you type in that and Girl in the Glass. And if you join us on Facebook, we've got the link in our Facebook page on how to RSVP for this event. But it's going to be nice. We're going to have awesome swag bags and wonderful speakers. You just don't want to miss these ladies that are coming to speak to us for this event.
Tammy, I am sitting right here with a 3-year-old voucher that says free photo session with Tammy. Is that still valid?
Look down at the bottom. I think it said expired in 1 year. but you know what, Michael? I got you. Tammy McGarity Photography will take care of Michael A. McFadden.
That was hilarious. Well, you do me a favor. You get you some rest tonight, because we will see you bright and early on the morning show and hang out with you.
Awesome.
And it's going to be awesome. I am so, so proud of you, Tammy. And like I said, congratulations, year two. I know it's going to be awesome, and we cannot wait to hear the big news about the new project that you're working on.
Thank you. See you in the morning.
All right, we'll see you in the morning. Hey, guys, do me a favor. Go to the website. You can visit the website right now. It's girlintheglass.net. You can find out more information about the second annual Girl in the Glass. I did say second annual. That means that they're celebrating this. They're doing it for the second time. Hey, go check out the information, ladies, girls, young ladies. We say 14. I think we said 14 and up. 14 to 183. We got to have a cutoff age. We got to have 183 years old. That's the max that we're allowing in there. But now visit the website, girlintheglass.net, for more information. And Tammy, once again, thank you very much. And for those that may have missed or tune in tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., Tony and Griff Show with Michael McFadden. Tammy's going to be hanging out with us tomorrow. Hey, don't go nowhere, because when we come back, I think our sports guy is back. I think I got our sports guy sighting. I haven't seen or heard. I've seen him. I've talked to him, but I hadn't talked to him in a minute. He's going to be hanging out with us. We'll be talking a little NFL free agency. Don't go nowhere. Shout out to you, Tammy. We'll be right back. Real talk. Yeah.
Don't let them tell you any different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They don't know about us. They don't know about it. Bye.
wonder what I did to deserve you. They gon' talk about it. Gon' try to change your mind about it. Gon' tell you things you don't wanna hear, but we good. They talk about it. Just let them know we already got it. Just tell them that we gon' work at it. We good.
Style. It's how you express who you are without speaking. At Birds Couture Boutique, you'll find the perfect mix of unique styles and designs that bring out the fashionista in you. Birds Couture Boutique offers an exclusive collection of designs that set the tone for any and every occasion. Whether you're looking for classic, stylish, fun, or chic, Birds Couture Boutique has you covered. And the best part is, you'll look like a million without paying a million. Every woman deserves to look beautiful. At Birds Couture Boutique, that's exactly how you'll feel. Beautiful. Birds Couture Boutique is located at 147 Bank Station, Fayetteville, Georgia. Call us to schedule your personal style assessment, 678-545-1687. Or visit us online at lovebirdscouture.com. That's love, B-Y-R-D-S, couture.com. Birds Couture Boutique, where exclusivity meets the everyday woman.
Hey guys, we're back. Real Talk with Michael McFadden, show number 404, if you're counting. Hey, all my ATLians here, do me a favor. October the 10th, the stage play, He Who Finds a Wife Finds a Good Thing, is happening October 10th, like I said, at Douglas High School, 5 p.m. I need you guys to do me a favor. Visit the website, MichaelMcFadden.com. Click the link. It's right there. You click the link, TC Praise Productions, and purchase your ticket. Awesome event. Shout out to Tamala J. Coleman. It's going to be an awesome play. You got enough time because it's October 10th. Doug High, He Who Finds a Wife Finds a Good Thing, October 10th. Going down. For more information, visit the website tcpraise.com. We got to support our own people, y'all. We really do. And once again, shout out to Tammy. Awesome. Girl in the Glass, March 28th. Visit the website, girlintheglass.net. Hey, hold on. Where is this music? It's been so long. You know what? Oh, man. I don't even know how to start. Hold on, I'm about to find. I got your music right here, Keith. I got it right here. Bam! Hey, it's been a while. We have not heard from Keith Roberts in a while, but guess what? We talked today, and we said it is time because the NFL free agency is crunk to the fullest. I don't know if it's over yet. Keith will tell us about it, but he's going to break down everything he's learned over the past week or so for free agency in football. Ladies and gentlemen, he's in the building, my main man, Keith Roberts. What's happening, sir?
Long time no talk. What's going on, Mr. McFadden? How we doing?
Oh, man. Welcome, man. I am awesome, man. How you doing?
I thought I missed that pink slip somewhere, but I just got that extra vacation time. I'm still waiting on to find out if it was paid vacation or not, but we'll get into that later.
Yeah, please. Hey, how my man do catching them fly balls today?
He did good once he was not worried about having it bust him in the head. But I told him he needs to be more worried about paying attention when he's playing second base and them kids are hitting line drives at him. I told him we were leaving, the first time that ball catches you in the face, one of two things are gonna happen. Either you're done playing baseball forever or you're never gonna not pay attention again. So
right.
See which way it goes.
Hey, that's one sport. One sport I never played, man, was baseball. I probably just played a little bit, but I was the same way like him. Boy, that ball came down to second base towards me on second base. Man, they talk about standing in front of the ball. That is so stupid. So stupid. And then they tried to move me to outfield. Yeah, then they tried to move me to outfield, obviously, and the same thing. The ball is
coming at me. And you got hands like. You got hands like you do in football, so you couldn't catch it.
Hey, watch out, man.
See, there you go.
At least I got good balance.
That you do. Can't break your neck like I did.
Hey, man, well, welcome back, man. I tell you what, man, you're getting very old because Caleb is getting very big, man.
Oh, my God. Tell me about it. He's also eating out of house and home. So if anybody wants to send me a Kroger gift card, I'm accepting all donations in Caleb's name.
Hey, man, we got a lot to talk about tonight, man. We're going to talk about March Madness in a minute, man, but we got to talk some NFL free agency, man. When you look at what has gone on since free agency opened officially last week, if I'm not mistaken, give us a couple of teams that have made the biggest moves this offseason.
Well, you know, one team that we got to look at and it's probably got the best grade in this offseason is the Green Bay Packers. And they do what they normally do and not make much noise on the open market, but they went ahead and secured up receiver Randall Cobb, and they gave they got tackle Brian Bluga back with a big contract. So with Cobb 24 and Bluga 25, it makes sense to keep those young players on the team. And that's why Ted Thompson is one of the best general managers out there. Another team that we got to talk about, and not just because they're my team, is the Buffalo Bills. Landing LeSean McCoy in a trade from the Eagles, picking up Matt Castle, and a late quarterback pickup that I think maybe the best is going to be Tyrod Taylor, the backup that's from Virginia Tech. They also were able to add Percy Harvin. So you put LeSean McCoy, Percy Harvin, and a whole bunch of these, Sammy Watkins, a whole bunch of these other offensive weapons they have out there, and I think I could play quarterback and get the ball around. So another big thing for them was they were able to retain pass rusher Jerry Hughes, got him for $9 million a year. Another team we have to look at that actually started making some moves today is the Houston Texans. They signed Ryan Mallett, and then they went out and got Brian Hoyer from Cleveland to compete for the starting position. They made big moves keeping their own right tackle and Derek Newton and Kareem Jackson, their cornerback. And they went out today and actually picked up who can stay healthy. I think would be good to clog up that middle there for them on defense. And last but not least is we got to talk about that team that went and dropped the $100 million on their big defensive lineman there, Ndamukong Suh, and the Miami Dolphins. And I think the quieter move is actually they traded to get Kenny Stills from the Saints and traded away receiver Mike Wallace to the Vikings. And I think that's going to be a big upgrade for them on the offensive side as well. So I'll give them a pretty good grade in these offseason as well.
Now, when you look at the AFC East, man, has any of those teams kind of closed the gap on the defending Super Bowl champions and Tom Brady over there?
Well, I mean, you would think maybe just because of addition by subtraction. Obviously, they lost Darrell Revis, who went back to his old stomping ground in New York. And, I mean, you look at, you know, the Jets went ahead and signed Revis. They signed Buster Skrine, the cornerback, from the Super Bowl champions, or from the second-time Super Bowl champions. And then they signed Cromartie, too, as well. You know, you looked at, we just talked about what the Dolphins did on their defensive line. The Bills were a little different. They went ahead and kind of went offense. Obviously, Rex Ryan coming in, being a defensive coordinator, and the top, you know, five defense that they had last year. So you look at the moves, and all these moves in division were made to try and close that gap with New England. And I think all three of them were able to do it. But, you know, anytime you got Brady and Belichick together, I don't know how many moves they can make. It's still going to be a tough haul for them to close that gap in the East.
Before we talk about some teams out there that still have some of the biggest gaps to fill in their roster, and I'm not sure if you're going to talk about my Atlanta Falcons, but I got a quote from Dan Quinn today. Personally, I was down at Flowery Branch today, and he told me personally, and I quote, he said that I'm not concerned about winning free agency. What's best for our team is having the right group of guys and how they can best connect and how hard they play for each other. There's a real style and attitude about how we're going to play, he said. It's not about one guy. It's not about a pass rusher. It's pass rush. It's not done by one man. It's done with the style and attitude that we play to affect the quarterback. And critics need to wait a while, too. It's still March. As a as an NFL fan out there, Keith, when you hear your coach say something like that to the media, man, what does it say about that coach?
That he's starting to feel the pressure being here in Atlanta. And, you know, I think in Atlanta we want that, you know, they're looking for that big-name splash. You know, we thought it was going to be mm-hmm. with the coach. You know, we thought it was going to be Rex Ryan. I mean, that was – I told you that 6 months ago that Rex Ryan, I'd heard, was going to be the leading candidate, and it literally was all the way up until the Bills kind of snaked him away. So, you know, the Falcons fans went from expecting, you know, a Rex Ryan-type quarterback to, you know, going to a defensive coordinator that, you know, no head coaching experience. And then you go into free agency with, you know, a little bit of money to spend, and you know, I mean, they added six players. You know, as you just said, it's more of about the group of people that they have rather than the individual. I mean, Brooks Reed is going to help. I think Adrian Claiborne is going to help with the pass rush, and, you know, Justin Durant coming up the middle is going to be a speed rusher for them. So I think it's the lack of big names that is kind of, you know, the Falcons fans and the media, mm-hmm. I think, is you know, they're concerned about that. But, you know, it's not always that, like I just said. You know, I think the best offseason move was the Green Bay Packers, and all they did was, you know, sign
right.
a couple guys in-house. You know, so like you said, it's not, you know, that one player. It can be that group of players, that core players that you're going to bring in that's going to make that difference on the defensive side, because obviously that's where they need to improve in the worst way.
Right. And you know, I challenge people. 2 years ago, before Seattle won their first Super Bowl, name five players on the Seattle Seahawks. I bet you could, because they weren't a big team field, especially their defense. They won their Super Bowl with their defense, obviously. But I'm not to take away from the offense and Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch and all that good stuff, but mainly it was their defense that did it. Name five players on their defense. You can't do it. So it's not about those big names. And there's no way that Ndamukong Suh is going to come in here and get $100 million from Atlanta. Shout out to the Miami Dolphins for giving him all that money, too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a position where you're not – the results are not going to be seen. So it makes it hard to – you know, when you're paying somebody $100 million, you know, you expect that to be quarterback. And even, you know, the two most recent defensive players that have gotten that type of money was J.J. Watt and from the Bills, the end, Mario Williams. And, you know, obviously we see what they're able to do with stats, you know, and that's with, you know, touchdowns and sacks and, you know, and things like that, where with him, you know, with Sue, it's just going to be clogging up the middle, and it's going to be the players around him, the linebackers and the other linemen that are going to be able to make the tackles. So that's going to be the hardest thing for the Dolphins, I think, is being able to sell that value without them. You know, everybody wants to see stats. You want to see something for the return. But with him, it's going to be more that whole team that happens around him and what they're able to do.
Who, real quick, man, who has some of the biggest gaps to fill right now in their roster?
Well, you got to look at first off, you got to start with the Chicago Bears. Obviously, they traded away Brandon Marshall. They did sign Eddie Royal the other day, but they're going to be struggling without Brandon Marshall and keeping their color as their quarterback. We got to talk about a team we just talked about in the New England Patriots. They lost three cornerbacks this offseason so far, including Revis. So they're going to have to revamp, and most likely it's going to look like it's going to be the draft to get themselves mm-hmm. some cornerbacks. And last but not least is the Cowboys and their running back situation. I think they kind of got thrown a little curveball after signing Dez Bryant to the franchise tag. I thought they were going to be able to keep him in house, but he actually, DeMarco Murray, snuck off to Philadelphia, mm-hmm. as we know. And they did sign Darren McFadden to a 2-year contract. We know how Jerry Jones loves his Arkansas boys. So, you know, mm-hmm. we'll see if he can stay healthy. But I think after losing, you know, the top rusher in the league last year, you know, trying to replace him with somebody like Darren McFadden, they're gonna have to pick up another player in that position to try and improve there.
The NCAA tournament gets underway tomorrow, and for real on Thursday with a field of 64. And I know that we'll get your Final Four predictions in a moment. But let's start with Kentucky, man. Should I just put Kentucky at the end of my brackets and say they're going to win the national championship, and or will they end up 40-0? Or can somebody beat them?
Yeah, I mean, when I started to fill out my bracket earlier, I just kind of started at the championship and filled out Kentucky and just went backward with Kentucky. And eventually I'm going to get –
like,
eventually,
hey,
eventually
hey
I'm
like you used to do on the maze games.
Yep.
You know how you do the
yep.
maze games?
Start backwards.
You just go backwards?
Yep, yeah. And eventually I'm going to get back and I'm going to fill out the rest of my bracket. So as of right now, I got the one side going all the way to the end, but, you know, we're going to get back. But, I mean, you got to look. They got – I mean, they have two basically starting – five that could probably be ranked number one and number two in the nation. And, you know, the size that they have, if you watch them play against Georgia and Arkansas and some of these teams in this SEC tournament, the size that they have over these teams. I mean, their shortest guy wasn't as big as the tallest guy for three of the teams that they played in the ACC tournament. So anytime you have that sort of size, and I think at point, you know, anything can happen. You know, that's why you do play the game. And if you listen to Calipari, he's kind of almost setting his team up that if they lose, you know, it's you know, we played hard, and that's all that I'm worried about. But
mm-hmm.
I think in the end, they believe it's going to be a failure for them if they don't pull off this national championship.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I got Georgia State University in my Final Four. So shout out to the real GSU.
Yeah, I wanted to go ahead and throw UB all the way into that Final Four, but unfortunately they would have to play Kentucky in the second weekend. So I got them. We're gonna talk about some upsets in a minute, but I actually got them coming out of the first round, beating West Virginia at the number five seed. So we're gonna talk about those in a minute.
In a minute, don't you hear the music on?
Gonna hear the music on? Am I getting the boot?
Yeah, you getting the boot, man. Hey, we're gonna talk about your upset next week after the first round. Oh, it's easy to talk about that. No, I gotta ask you before we go. Did you see Christian Laettner 30 for 30?
Yeah, and I still hate Christian Laettner. That probably was one of the best 30 for 30s I've seen in a while, though.
Why do we hate Christian Laettner, man?
Because it's 4 years of in-your-face and championships and doing what many said he wasn't supposed to do. And, you know, that was right. That was at the time before now where, you know, college kids don't stay in college for 4 years. You know, you're never
right.
going to see
That's
a,
true.
You're never going to see a college player again go to four national or go to four Final Fours. That'll never happen.
No,
again.
Never.
So just that right there, and you know the amount of the camera time, and you know as we saw last night, you know he definitely had a little squabbles, and you know stepping on the guy's chest, and you know he wasn't afraid to put himself out there.
Did you see the prep school fight? Like he got the fighting in prep school. Like he
was
about
in,
that life.
That was in Buffalo. That was one of the colleges or one of the prep schools in downtown Buffalo where he's from. He actually does basketball camps back there now.
His camp,
which is part of the reason why UB's coach is the Bobby Hurley, the point guard for Duke during those times. That's actually the University of Buffalo's coach in their first year of making it to the tournament. So there's a little combination up there.
Oh, okay, yeah. I saw Bobby with the jacket on yesterday, and I was
yep,
wondering if he was an assistant coach or
the
head coach.
He's actually this is his second year of the head coach for the UB, and like I said, this is actually the first year that they made the NCAA tournament. So as a upstate guy of Syracuse, is going to eliminate the
hold on, don't hang up, they turn my music up real loud. Sorry, hold on, kid. I have one more thing to ask you before we go. Hold on. Yeah, they cut us off. I was gonna say, when we were on air this morning, Griff made a comment that Christian Laettner was a bust, and I had to correct him real quick. I said the man played in the NBA for 12 years, was an NBA All-Star for 1 year as an Atlanta Hawk. I said, Christian Laettner wasn't a bust. He definitely didn't live up to his NBA, his potential from college to NBA, but he wasn't a bust. Would you agree with me?
Yeah, no, he wasn't a bust, and there's a big difference between college and NBA players. I mean, we look at now at the amount of these college players that come into the NBA, but like you said, he had a 12-year NBA career. You know, he got to play with the Dream Team in college, and mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he's anytime you can have a 12-year career in the NBA, you know, as much as he was probably the best college player ever, and I can see why they would say, you know, that would translate to a bust in the NBA, but I think he had a very serviceable career.
Yeah, he really did. Harold Miner was a bust.
Harold, Baby Jordan.
Yeah, Baby Jordan was a bust. Kwame Brown was a bust.
D. Brown. Anybody that had the name that was compared to Jordan up until probably maybe LeBron or Kobe was definitely a bust.
Yeah, I would have came in the league and be like, no, don't call me Jordan, please. Hey, man, before you go, man, we talk next week. Tell everybody how they keep in touch with you, homie.
Hey, make it nice and simple. /@sportsguy, Facebook it. Twitter, Instagram.
There you go. Hey, hold on. What is Monster Russ, man? What is he doing? Are you guys collecting?
I don't know what he's doing. I opened up my own little store here. He's doing his thing. He likes to go out and get the autographs, but I've been I opened up a little eBay store, make some extra money. So let's just say Dwayne Wade hit the lottery for me last night too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, let's say them low serial numbered cards can bring in a nice profit when you sell them online.
Hey man, I got an autograph Phil Negro. I got an autograph Jamal Lewis. I got an autograph jersey from Warren Sapp. What's up? Can a brother consign some stuff with you?
We can work on the Warren Sapp one. The Jamal Lewis one, we may have to ship that one across state lines and see if we can keep that one out of trouble. But we can get those up for you.
Hey, I got a Jermaine O'Neal. Hold on, ship it across state lines. It's so wrong. I got a Jermaine O'Neal Indiana Pacers jersey with a weed hole in it.
I got that one with the rest of the Portland Trailblazers team as well, too.
I'm going to see your picture of it, man. I'm going to see your picture of it. Hey, man, bye, man. I'll holler at you. Peace.
I'll holler at you. Peace.
Hey, that is our sports guy. You can check him out every Monday night, Wednesday night, right here on Real Talk. Hey, I want to thank Tammy for hanging out with us today. I want to thank you guys for hanging out with us today. Don't forget, tune in tomorrow, 7 a.m. to 9, to Tony and Griff Show with Michael McFadden. We'll see y'all next week. Real Talk. Yeah.